It's been good. Good reports. Good vision. All week it's been a great missions conference, I think. Praise the Lord. And we're so glad to have Brother Rawls. First time we've ever been able to get him here. And it's been a blessing, I'll tell you what. Some of the stories last night, man, they were great illustrations of truth. All week long. So come and preach again to us, brother, and get the invitation started. Thanks for coming by.
All right, thank you, Pastor. Again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and I appreciate each one of you being here. It's good to see Brother Jim Donath, Sister Lois, and the girls, and we appreciate them. We've had the privilege of taking them to a number of meetings with us and helping them to raise a measure of their support. And I want to thank you again for inviting us to come up and be with you, and we're just looking forward to great things happening with you and the future with the Lord's blessing continuing upon you. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Pardon me. I've been talking on the subject of giving, starting on Sunday morning, and guess what I'm going to talk about tonight? You say, preacher, aren't you embarrassed to preach much about money? No. You know why? Because Paul the Apostle, this is just one of the reasons, Paul the Apostle quoted the words of the Lord Jesus in the book of Acts chapter 20, and verse 35, he said to the Ephesian pastors, he said, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring, that is following his example, he was actually working overtime to help supply for the missionary that worked with him. But he said, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? And it is more blessed to give than to receive. If someone told your pastor, Brother Cole, I'm a wealthy man, and this coming Sunday night, next Sunday night, I'm going to come to your church, and everybody that comes, I'm going to write them a Bible, I'm talking about, it'll be a good one, I'm going to write a good check for $1,000, whether they're members of your church or not. How many of you would try to be here? Amen? That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? What if Pastor Cole forgot to announce that? That fellow showed up, and he wrote all those checks to the people that did come, and others said, well, man, if I'd have known that, I would have come, and, well, the pastor just forgot to announce it. How would you feel toward your pastor? Dr. Rison. Listen, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you believe the Bible's true? All right, that scripture's true. And I don't believe there's any admixture of error whatsoever in our Bible. I use the King James Bible, 1611 edition, make no apology for it. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, stand with me, please. Jesus gives the parable of an unjust steward. This steward, realizing he's about to be put out of the stewardship, he's called to give an account. And he calls in his Lord's debtors, said, how much do you owe, my Lord? And he gives discounts to every one of them. And Jesus makes a comparison in verse 8. Says, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. This fellow giving discounts, you've probably read this many times, he did this in view of those people receiving him into their houses after he's put out of the stewardship. Now listen to the application. Jesus said, and I say unto you, make to yourselves, he's talking to his disciples, if you go back in verse 1, you'll see that. This is especially directed to his disciples. He said to the disciples, I say to you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon that is with money, the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you, those friends you've made, into everlasting habitations. How many of you have ever read that passage of Scripture and had trouble with it? A lot smarter than I was, brother. I said, I struggled with that for years and years. Finally, you know, when all else fails, you pray. And I began praying for the Lord to help me to understand that. The word fail, as defined in Psalms chapter 73 and verse 26, the psalmist said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength and my portion forever. What Jesus is saying is, use your money to make friends, that when you die, those friends you've made will receive you in the everlasting habitations. And we have an opportunity to do that through our tithes and our offerings, helping sustain this ministry here, and through our faith promise offerings. And people that we reach in this life, one day we're going to meet them on the other side. Some of those people in this life have been so extremely poor, they barely, if they did, own shoes to put on their feet. But when you get to heaven and you meet those people, they won't be poor. And they'll receive you into their mansions. Amen? Then Jesus goes on to add, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, again that's referring to money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? There are many things greater than money. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, in effect that which belongs to God and belongs to people that we should give to the Lord and through the Lord give to them to help reach them, said, if you have not been faithful in that which another man, who will give you that which is your own? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd help us tonight. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd guide every word. It is not my desire, Lord, to do anything other than minister to the needs of your people. And I want to do that compassionately, Lord, and with understanding. And I pray, dear God, that you'd strengthen our faith and help us to be strong in the power of your might. I thank you for Pastor Cole, and Lord, I thank you for these missionaries. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be called into your ministry. And I pray that you'd help me to faithfully deliver your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, the subject of tithing. And I'm going to do this for two or three reasons. One is because this is a month of stewardship, and the pastor mentioned that to me. He did not ask for me to speak on tithing, did not suggest for me to speak on tithing, but I felt impressed of the Lord to do this. And so I want to title the message tonight, The Tragedy of Failing to Give Tithes and Offerings. And I encourage you again to make notes. I'm going to give you a number of scripture references. Last night we read to you from the book of Matthew chapter 22, where the Pharisees came and they said, is it lawful to pay tribute or not? And the Bible tells us that Jesus asked them to show him a penny. And in verse 21, he said, verse 20, he said, whose is this image and superscription on the penny? They said to him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. In one sweeping statement, Jesus endorsed the paying of taxes, and he also endorsed the paying of tithes and giving offerings. They belong to God, and we'll see that, I trust, before the message is over. And there are many scriptures that we could use as a text. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, the tithe is holy. It is the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Will a man rob God? And he deals with the subject of tithing and the children of God failing to tithe. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 8, we talked to you last night, showing you how that our tithes witness that God lives. And then in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, going past the tithe, giving offerings, God loveth a cheerful giver. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, the children of the people of Corinth were admonished for all of them. They were commanded, actually, for all of them to be involved in an offering that was being taken to help the poor saints at Jerusalem. I want to deal for just a moment with some objections to tithing. First of all, many people say, well, I don't really know what the tithe is. How much is a tithe? And in the book of Genesis chapter 28, verse 22, the tithe is a tenth. In the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4, the tithe again is the tenth. That simply means that $10 out of every $100 that you have and I have belongs to God. And $100 out of every $1,000 and $1,000 out of every $10,000 and so on belongs to God. And the tithe really is not, let me add this, the tithe is not tithing on the net of your income. I don't think we ought to charge God for school taxes, income tax, social security tax, and on, you know. All of those things are benefits. And, you know, they help the government. We are reaping from those benefits. And so we ought not to look for an opportunity to give God less. We ought to look for an opportunity to give God more. And we are to tithe on the gross. All right? Now, here's another objection. It was law. We dealt with that last night. And because it was under the law, we're no longer under the law, and so we're not commanded to tithe. But that's a mistake. You see, tithing was practiced 430 years before the law was given. It was incorporated in the law. And then after the law, in the book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, Jesus brings tithing over into the New Testament, commending it. And then we dealt with Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 8, definitely New Testament ground, even after Jesus had been here on earth, was crucified, buried, and resurrected, ascended back to heaven. People still tithing, it being commended, God receiving it. So tithing is during the law, after the law, and it's now. Amen. And we pointed out to you that just because it was under the law doesn't mean that we throw it away. Amen. You know, committing adultery was forbidden under the law. Now, since we're not under the law, okay, commit adultery. You know, we're commanded not to kill. That's in the law. Now that we're not under the law, all right, go out here and just shoot folk, you know, open season. No. See what I'm saying? And so tithing is right. Here's a third reason. You know, some folks say, I'm just too poor to tithe. Well, I'm going to say, beloved, listen, we are too poor not to tithe. And I hope you'll listen to this now. We want to help you. We're too poor not to tithe. You'll find that if you will tithe, God will honor your giving, and you will be able to pay more bills with 90% of your income and giving God the 10% than you will with 10%, 100%, and not having His blessing. Truth is, we ought to set a goal, I believe, to give at least another tithe in faith promise, minimum 20%, 10% for the tithe, another 10% for faith promise, and that'd be a good starting point. It'd be good not to stop there. Now, I'm getting a few amens. Amen? All right? Now, let me give you some things. Number one, tithes and offerings belong to God. In our first pastorate, I remember distinctly, 6 years into our Christian lives, actually 6.5 years, I was not tithing. I was saving my money, supposed to be saving it, to buy a PA system so I could go out and preach on the street. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? But truth is, I was disobedient. And we were not saving our tithe every single week, almost without fail. I had to have that, or so I thought. And I wasn't saving it. And 6.5 years, I still did not have a PA system to go and preach on the street. I told my wife, it was not her fault we were doing going at it this way. But I told my wife, Nora, I said, honey, we're doing wrong in not giving our tithes to the Lord. And we're going to start giving, and we're going to trust the Lord, and if the Lord wants us to have a PA system, He'll give us one. And if He doesn't give us one, I don't need one. We don't need one. Within 6 months from the time we started tithing, the Lord gave us our first ministry, 23 and a half years old. A church called me to pastor. I say sometimes the church pastored me as much as I did them, but we got along, and the Lord let us have a good ministry there. I think there was a connection, because after I got right about the money part, God began to give me the true riches. Amen? All right? Now, tithes and offerings belong to God. We dealt with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 last night, a principle: honor the Lord with thy substance, the first fruits of all thine increase. And then it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You see, if we give, God gives. And so the tithe and the offerings belong to God. Now, I find it interesting in the Scriptures where people have violated that principle and decided they would go their own way. I remember Dr. Theodore Webb many years ago making this statement. He said something to this effect. He said the New Testament is enfolded in the Old, and the Old Testament is unfolded in the New. And the Old Testament is God's illustration book. Now, in the light of that, I look at some people who have been cursed for taking that which belonged to God. Remember when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, and the time came under the leadership of Joshua to cross over and go into the promised land. The Lord said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to drive out the people and so on. But He said, now, Jericho, the first city, He said, you're not to take any of the gold nor the silver. You're to utterly slay and destroy all except Rahab's household. She had housed the spies by faith, scarlet thread streaming out that window, rope, really. And so when they went over, God had the children of Israel to march around the city 7 times. The priests have blown the ram's horn, and they shouted, and the walls fell down flat. And they had a great victory. They spoiled the city. A man by the name of Achan decided that he would ignore what God had said through Joshua, and he stole a wedge of gold, a silver chain, and a goodly Babylonish garment. Now, God had said that gold, the gold and silver in that city is mine, and you don't take it. It was to be used to fashion things for the house of God, and Achan took what belonged to God. They go against the next city, a small city called Ai, and they suffered a defeat, and if I remember right, 23 men were killed, and they were driven back. And Moses fell on his face, and the Lord said, Moses, up. He said, there's sin in the camp. And they began an investigation, and it came to light. Achan had stolen. And the result was that he and his entire household were slain. A serious business. Now, I read again in the book of Daniel, chapter 5, verse 22 through 30, there was a man by the name of Belshazzar. He was a king. There was a battle that had been waged against him. The Medes and Persians had come against him, and they withdrew, and they thought that, that they'd given up on the battle. And so this king has a big feast for 1,000 of his lords and his concubines, and he's drinking wine and getting drunk, and in the midst of all that revelry, he called for the golden vessels that had been taken by his father out of Jerusalem to be brought, and they drank wine and strong drink out of those vessels and praised the gods of gold and silver, and the fingers of a man's hand came over and began to write on the candlestick on the wall, and old Belshazzar couldn't read it. His knees smote together. Called for a man. Finally, Daniel comes. Nobody else could read it. And He said, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting, and this night thy kingdom is taken from you. And that night Belshazzar was slain. I think it's interesting to note, the hand came, which was the hand of God, and began writing the words of his doom when the vessels from the house of God were desecrated at that particular point. That which belonged to God proved to be a curse to him. I read again of a man by the name of Gehazi, a Syrian, captain of the host of Syria. Naaman came down, being instructed as a result of a little slave girl that was there, you know, in his country. Naaman is a big, powerful man, but he's afflicted with leprosy. And this little daughter said, I would that my master was in Israel, said he'd be healed. And well, the king writes a letter to that king, and this king thinks that he wants an occasion against him. Finally, it gets straightened out, and they come to Elisha. And Naaman is sent to Elisha. And Elisha told him, said, go and dip in the river of Jordan 7 times, you'll be healed. And he went, dipped, and was healed. And Naaman comes back trying to give him fantastic wealth, a fabulous amount of wealth. And Elisha wouldn't take it. And sent him away, wouldn't take a bit of it. But Gehazi said, hey, my master's let this uncircumcised, or this, you know, this Gentile, this he's thinking, in effect, this heathen go. He said, I'll run and I'll take somewhat after him. And he lied in the name of his master. And he said, the sons of the prophets have come, and I need thus and so. And Naaman said, no problem, you take twice as much. And when Gehazi goes back to Elisha said, where'd you go, son? He said, I'm going anywhere. I said, I haven't been anywhere. He said, don't lie to me. He said, did my heart go with you when you followed after Naaman? He said, the leprosy of Naaman cleave to you and your household forever. And he'd taken that which really he'd lied about was supposed to go to God. The nation of Israel itself cursed. Malachi chapter 3. And in all of the things that they'd done, God said, if you will just bring all the tithes into the storehouse, I will pour you out a blessing where there'll not be room enough to receive. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And folk, listen, Israel was cursed because they refused to tithe. I'm going to tell you, I'd just about rather stand on the steeple in a thunderstorm out here and say, God, I dare you to strike me, rather than to keep God's tithe in my pocket. Tithes and offerings belong to God. Let me give you a second thing. Number two, if we do not tithe, we're disobedient to God by withholding the tithes and offerings. In effect, a God robber. Now, I used the illustration last night, and some of you weren't here. How many of you were not here last night? Would you slip in? All right, several of you. I used the illustration of the pastor. Amen? You know, we don't think this is too big of a deal. In the book of Malachi chapter 3, turn your Bibles there, please. Malachi chapter 3, they're praying for God to return, and I'm going back there because there was a number of you were not here last night. And I'm not coming down here for not being here. I just want to make sure that we get this. But the children of Israel were praying. And in the light of all of the past miraculous blessings that God had given to that nation, greater nations than they were driven out before them. God did it. The Red Sea miraculously opened. They've discovered artifacts. They've discovered things in the sea where the people went over, parts of chariots and things that have been preserved. And the place of that crossing was 5,000 feet deep. That was no problem for God. Amen. He just caused a strong wind, pushed the water back. But all of the miracles that God did. Now, it's very evident that God's not blessing them like he did then. And they're crying, oh God, return unto us, return unto us. And God speaks through the prophet Malachi and says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Verse 7. And they ask the question, wherein shall we return? And God answers, he said, will a man rob God? Who would pull a stick up on God? But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God answers, verse 8, in tithes and offerings. And he adds, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts. If I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. In verse 10, the first part, they're exhorted to bring all the tithes in, but God says, do this and prove me. See if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. See if we give, God gives. And that same principle carried over into the New Testament. And I used the illustration last night of robbing the pastor. Would it be all right if I did that again for the folk one here? Would it be all right? Let's suppose, you know, you folk are taking good care of us, better than we deserve. You got a nice hotel room over there. You've been feeding us good. I'm having trouble buttoning my coat, brother. Just this week. And, you know, you give good love offerings when speakers come through like this and so on. And you know, suppose after being so good to me, and the pastor gave me the offering, and I say to him, Pastor, let me see you outside just for a little bit. I need to see you out back to church here. And so he goes out back out there with me, you know. And when we get around there, I'm looking around, nobody can see it. I come out with a gun. And I cock the hammer on the thing, and I said, give me your money. And he said, wait, Brother Rolfe, wait. What's going on here? I said, give me your money. And I cocked the hammer on that thing. And he sees, you know, the ends of those slugs, and hears that click, and I'm jabbing him in the side. He said, he thinks I'm crazy. I said, give me your money. And he opens his billfold. He said, I don't know what's gone wrong with this crazy man, but I don't take a chance on getting shot. And he comes out, empties his billfold out. And then after I get his money, get his credit cards, get the, debit card, get the code, amen. I let the hammer down. I said, now let's go back around front. I want to pretend this never happened. I'm looking forward to coming back preaching for you again. And I'll call you up, you know, and we'll go out to eat together, so on and so on. I'll be in touch. I don't want this to harm our friendship. Amen. You say, preach, that's preposterous. Don't we do the same thing with God? Sunday we rob him, and we cry out on Sunday night, Monday, and all the, Lord, I want you to help me. God wants you to bless me. Please, oh God, help me. And we pray for our children. We pray for the job. We pray for the car. We pray for the roof on the house beginning to leak. We pray for the plumbing. We pray, you know, and God says, nothing. And we say, oh, God, please help me. I love you, Lord. And Sunday comes and we rob him again. Shouldn't say we, but the grace of God ain't in there. Amen. You see how preposterous it is. Tithing affects our fellowship. If you don't tithe, you're robbing God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't make me have to do this. Amen, Brother Rolfe. That's good. Amen. Go on, go for it. Thank you, Brother Rolfe. Amen. Let me hurry on. When you fail to tithe, did you know that you send a bad testimony to others? You said, preacher, I don't say anything about it. Well, listen, you send a bad testimony to your church. You say, I love God, but by your actions, you deny that. The church has needs. The church will always have needs. And we'll deal with some of that in just a moment. I love my wife. But I don't just tell her I love her. If she tells me I need so-and-so, I'm going to tell you, if it's within my power to provide that, and she's not the kind of a woman to just, you know, want to spend frivolously and wastefully, I thank God for that. But I prove my love by taking care of my wife. Amen. And we prove our love by taking care of the needs of the church. And so not tithing, in effect, is saying I don't really love the church like I ought to. Now, don't get mad at me, amen. Again, I'm going to tell you, the pastor didn't put me up for this. Now, I realize some are young Christians, and maybe it's taken a little while for you to grow into this. Now, it's not my intention to hurt anybody. But listen, holding on to the money that belongs to God, you're saying, in effect, I have more faith in this money and what it will do for me in my hand instead of what God will do with it if I put it in His church that He's paid for with His blood. It's indicating a weakness of faith, you see. And really, if we look at the tithe and we're thinking all the things we need and, you know, God's told us to do it and things I want and I can't get them if I tithe, really, that indicates that your heart and attachment is to worldly things rather than to God. I say it's a bad testimony to the church. And people who won't tithe, again, in effect, vote to close all the churches, stop all the ministry outreach, call all the missionaries home, and let the whole world die and go to hell. You say, preacher, that's hard. Why'd I say that? Because if everybody gave, as the people do who don't tithe, all the churches would have to close. Am I right? All the ministries would stop. All the missionaries would have to come home. And it's just bad. It's also a bad testimony to the community. How much more could be done if you had the funds? I mean, you're probably at the point where you maybe need a larger building, but you can't do it right here. Amen? And building a new building this day and time, it is very expensive. I'm simply unburdening my heart. I even looked to start preaching that message. God said, nope, you stay that one. What choice I have? Let me say this. I believe with all of my heart, if everybody had tithed that had come into this church, probably just within the last 10 years, and everybody said it right now, all the back tithes was in and the offerings to be given to God, you wouldn't have a problem about a building. You could build and pay cash for every single bit of it. Amen? Hey, if you had the extra funds, would an extra radio ministry interest you? How about a TV ministry? How about printing? Youth outreach, expanded bus ministry. Pastor Thomas said that you all had a larger bus ministry, but you had to stop because of the requirements by the state on the buses and so forth. If you had plenty of funds, that wouldn't be a problem. Amen? And again, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But listen, you're also a bad testimony to yourself if you don't tithe. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Because a message like this and what you see in the scriptures, you're convicted in your heart that you're doing wrong. And with a defiled conscience, you know what happens? And I got Bible for this. Time and time and time again, you end up attacking folk that are innocent, that are doing right. Who said that's right? Amen. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because I pastored for 12 plus years. And I know human nature. And I also know what the Bible says. Did you know in the scriptures, in the Bible, there were two men besides Adam, Cain and Abel. They brought offerings to the Lord. Abel's offering was accepted. Cain wouldn't bring the right one. Wouldn't get right after the Lord dealt with him. And ended up slaying his brother Abel. He had a defiled conscience. I found in pastoring time and time again, the people that do the most complaining are the ones who tend to give the least. I ask again, if everybody gave as you gave, would there be any missionaries on the field? Zero times zero equals no missionaries. Would there be any heat in the church building? Any air conditioning in the summer? Would there even be a building to come to? A building for lost people to come to. And I ask again, would there be any radio broadcast, any Bible tract printing? Would your pastor be available to visit you when you're sick? Or would he be forced to work two jobs to survive? You say, preacher, I tithe, but I give offerings, but I don't tithe here to this church. That would raise the question, why not? Amen? When you get sick, you don't call the radio preacher or the TV preacher to come visit you, do you? I didn't want to preach this. God told me to. What about when your children get in trouble? Who do you call? I mentioned last night, you know, if you go down here to Collins, North Collins three-star restaurant and eat, and I mean I like that Greek souvlaki breakfast they have. Can you say amen right there? Amen. But when I eat down there, I don't go to Apollo to pay for it. I don't come back up here to the pizza place and pay for it, you know. I pay for it down there. I go to the Exxon station to fill up my tank with fuel. I don't go over to the Gulf to pay for it. Amen. I don't support them, you know. I support the station where I get the fuel. And, folks, listen, this is just, you know, just some normal thinking. I would suggest to you, if God is leading you to come to this church, this church is worthy of your tithes and your offerings. And if you can trust the Lord with your soul and your soul salvation, you can trust the Lord with your giving. I remember Dr. Lee Robertson told a story some years ago. I heard him tell this in person. He said he was preaching in a church up in the northwest, somewhere in one of the northwestern states. Cold, snow and ice on the ground, and one of the men visiting the church that night came forward, was gloriously saved. And they were rejoicing. They'd been praying for that man and praying for that man. And so when they dealt with him and he got saved, immediately he said, folk, he said, I thank God for saving me. And he said, I want to get baptized tonight. And folk were saying amen, and Brother Robertson said, I said amen. And he said, and Dr. Robertson, I want you to baptize me. And the pastor told him, he said, brother, that baptistry water is cold. We haven't kept it heated. He said, I don't care. I want to get baptized tonight. And he said, Dr. Robertson, will you baptize me? Dr. Robertson said, he said, yes, sir. He puts on his waders, you know, gets out there in the baptistry. As this fellow's coming down in the water, farmer, had on overalls, he noticed his billfold in the bib of his overalls. And he said, brother, your billfold. He said, huh? He said, your billfold, in your pocket, it'll get wet. He said, when I got saved a while ago, he said, my billfold got saved with me. I want it baptized with me. And he said, we baptized him. He's standing right after the service in those wet clothes and rejoicing in the Lord. They had church, they had clothes. He said, no. He said, I got saved in these clothes. I want to get baptized in these clothes. And that's what he did. And finally goes home, and Pastor and Dr. Robinson went over next door to the pastorum, and they're sitting over there and rejoicing about that fellow, and they said they heard a knock on the door. And it had been over maybe 30, 40 minutes, and said, went back to the door, and here's this same man. He said, Pastor, I didn't even get home. The Lord was dealing with me. He said, I got to get something right. He said, well, come on in, brother. Here he is still in his wet clothes. He said, God, got to deal with me about these cigarettes, and I got to give them up. I can't get rid of them. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Let me give you this and we'll close. Bad testimony to your church, bad testimony to the community, bad testimony to yourself. People who do not tithe, I want you to think about this now. Pray about this. People who do not tithe, really it's not a good testimony to your family. When you don't tithe, you don't give offerings. And here's the reason I say that. See, your family knows if you're not really, really 100% behind the church. They know that. If you are not, they know it. And they're not fooled. You say, preacher, how do they know it? And I got Bible again. Luke chapter 12, verse 34, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then there's another one in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Luke 6, 45, said, from the abundance or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're really behind the church, you tithe. And if you're not, your speech will tell it. Amen. And folk, listen. With your children, you want your children to follow in your footsteps, to be children of God. Stay out of the world. Don't be in the drugs. Don't be in the illicit sex. Don't be out here stealing. Get a job. Be honest. Be hardworking. Be honorable people. Only way you're going to get them to do that is to get them to be 100% behind with you in the church. But you can't do it if you're not 100% behind the church. See, we cannot reproduce what we are not. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Well, I'm going to stop there, and I hope that you'll take these things and really think about them and ask the Lord, ask the Lord, Lord, what that fellow said tonight, is that true or not? And I hope you'll take the scriptures. I hope you've written scriptures down, the references that I've given you. Take those and pray over them. Will you do that? Will you do it? And stand behind this church with your tithes. Stand behind this mission program with your mission giving. And see what the Lord will do in honoring that. Let's stand with our heads in prayer.